You're listening to Drop of Inspiration, a Young Living podcast. Join me for leadership lessons, conversations with Young Living influencers, and an inside perspective on our company. I'm your host, Celeste Rosenloff. In this encore episode, we're sharing our 2016 conversation with Royal Crown Diamonds Lindsay Teague Marino and Joanne Kahn, who talked about building a Young Living business. In the conversation hosted by Trent Morrison, they share valuable insights into how they grow their teams, explore new ideas, and stay current in the business.
Yeah, so I wanted to get started by giving each of you a moment to let us know a little bit more about yourselves. You know, what's your background? When did you come to Young Living? And what was your Young Living aha moment? Lindsay, why don't you start?
Okay, so I'm Lindsay Teague Marino. I started February of 2013. It was the first time I ever tried any oils whatsoever. And I decided to do the business on March 25th, 2013. It was a big, big day for me. So, it was a good day. And that was the day that I decided this is going to be something that I try and I'm going to try my hardest. So I've been using oils now for a little over 3 years. I'm a huge fan of the product. I'm a bigger fan of this business and all the stuff that it's brought into my life. I didn't expect. My background is kind of strange. When I tell people that straight out of college, I went to Arizona State University, and straight out of college, I started working freelance doing scrapbooking, which sounds super strange and like a little old lady-ish, but
that's no, I like it.
I had no kids. I had, you know, it was just me. I was a single girl, and I just like started scrapbooking, realized I loved it. I had a knack for it, started doing photography, had a knack for that. And I actually worked in the world of publishing for scrapbooking for a lot of years. From like 2002, I'd say up through 2006, I did freelance scrapbooking. Oh, wow. And my mom finally was like, you like really need to get a real job. And so I figured yeah, thanks, I would mom. Go ahead and use that degree that I got. And I went to work for the place that everyone who lives in Phoenix, which I did at the time, goes to work for. And that is the University of Phoenix. And so I got a job there doing sales for the University of Phoenix and realized I was pretty good at sales. And I rose through the ranks there pretty quickly, ended up with a promotion to management. And then I actually got another promotion to work from home training managers. And it was a really fun job. I loved it. I learned a lot. And during that time, I ended up getting my master's degree in organizational psychology, which is the psychology of how groups work together, which has served me well in this business.
Yeah.
And then I started having kids. I had two twins that are now seven. And then I ended up having another little girl after that 2 years later. And so I've got three kids, and I just knew that I couldn't do anything unless it was from home. And you know, I had these skills in photography, so I started building photography businesses. And at that time, my husband started working through the ranks at his job, also for the University of Phoenix. And we ended up moving from place to place to place. So I started this photography business in four different cities and got it off the ground just in enough time for us to move again. So I have a lot of experience in starting businesses over yeah. and over and over again. I call myself a serial entrepreneur.
That's great.
And that's kind of where I ended up. I started using oils because I really wanted them for my kids at the beginning. And this business fell into my lap. It chased me down the road, I like to say. And so it just kind of became a perfect thing for me. I was at home watching my kids. I wasn't loving it, to be honest with you. I know that's probably not something that most moms should admit publicly, but I love my kids, don't love being a stay-at-home mom. And so I needed something else to keep me busy and to keep my mind focused on something that challenged me and that I love doing. And that just isn't motherhood. So I was a stay-at-home mom and I love my kids, but this ended up working out great for me. I was able to stay at home and use the platform that I had built through all these years doing social media and starting businesses to kind of flip that into essential oils. And it works really, really well for stay-at-home moms. And that's my target market. So I ended up growing pretty quickly. I started, like I said, in March of 2013, ended up hitting Royal Crown Diamond in July. So I started in March of 2013, and in July of 2014, I hit Royal Crown Diamond. And so it was kind of a whirlwind, and I have loved every single second of it.
Yeah, that's a great journey and story and the way that you've incorporated each moment of your journey, I think is a really cool testament to kind of your approach to your business. So thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
Joanne, what about you? What's your background? When did you come to Young Living, and what's your Young Living aha moment?
Well, before I introduce myself, and I'm Joanne Kan from Hong Kong, I love hearing Lindsay talk. It was amazing. Now I know
yeah, it's great.
I'm successful. So, okay, so I'm from Hong Kong. I actually, all through my life, all I wanted to do was to get married and have kids. And so my friends used to say that I'm very motherly, and I would mother my stuffed animals and I'd bring them out. It was insane. And so, and I started with, my dad has always been big on Chinese herbs and supplements and stuff. So I started taking probiotics when I was 5, which was 40 years ago. So we were pretty ahead in this kind of sense. And I love reading. So I researched a lot on health products, on supplements. And then I started with like meditation and metaphysics, if you would call it, back in 1996. And then that was sort of the thing that I was doing part time. I loved it. And then I had kids. 2005, my daughter was not very healthy, so she was having a lot of health challenges. So I started seeing a homeopath. Then I have training in homeopathic remedies, flower essence, Chinese herbs, herbal remedies, and stuff like that. And I was searching for something that really, really worked. Because I'm not saying that the things that I was using wasn't working, they just didn't work. All around, I have to supplement it with loads of different stuff, and it work and not work. I also did energy healing, Reiki, and stuff like that. And then I stumbled across Young Living in 2011, January. Hey, we seem to remember the dates really well.
Yeah, January 2011.
That was dates right away. That was the year I tell everybody how old I am, because I don't think I look it. So that was the year I turned 40, and I said to myself, hey, it's time for me to be better to myself. And then I started with Young Living. But I started it because I loved the thieves line, the household cleaners and stuff, because I was trying to do chemical free living, organic food. And it's difficult to do that in Hong Kong because of the pollution of the products that we get. And but my friend convinced me to get a set of everyday oils just in case. So the oils were sitting there in the cabinet for three months before I opened it. And then the first oil I used was thieves, and it worked like nothing else that I've ever tried. And I've tried a lot of products. I love trying new products. And I was sure that they put some weird chemical-y stuff in it.
You're a little skeptical.
And I Googled, and there was none of that. And I was like, wow, it's amazing. So I started trying different stuff. I started researching, reading about Young Living, about the products. I had no idea. I was reading about the products, so I had no idea that it was a network marketing company. I didn't even know what a network marketing company was. And then I started introducing it to my friends, because I'm the kind of person that tells people about good stuff when I get good stuff. So about 20 some years ago, I had a manicurist who told me, hey, Joanne, you should be a network marketer. I said, what? And she said, you know, like, I'm not going to say the brand, but, you know, like those people. And I said, no, I'm never going to be a network marketer. Yikes. And so I had no idea, anyway, that Young Living was a network marketing company. And then about 10 years ago, a friend told me that I should open an agency that introduced people to different companies and different products and get a commission out of it. I said, no, I'm not going to get commission out of my friends. So I didn't do that. And they said, oh, no, you're going to be so successful because you have all these network and you know all these people and you know all these products and they all work and you're so passionate about it. I said, no. I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom and I'm happy just making muffins and cooking and massaging my kids. And then let me go back to Young Living. So about 4 months into using Young Living, I introduced my best friend. 2 months later, I received a check that was about $120-$150. And I said, why are they giving me money? I didn't return any products. And so I called up my friend and she said, no, it's your money. Take it. I said, no. I don't take money that I don't know where it comes from. So she goes, no. Take the money. So I started looking up the business side. So the website, there's this link that says business opportunity. I spent about 45 minutes reading the whole thing. No idea what was going on. So I told my husband, I said, hey, honey, there's this thing. They gave me this $100. $150, they say I should cash it, but I don't know where it come from. Can you look through this for me? And my husband is a business consultant. He's now he's now working the business too. And he looked, he spent about an hour looking through it, and he goes, honey, it's a pyramid scheme. I said, no, it's not a pyramid scheme. And he said, so did you make money out of your friend, Ruby? I said, no. Did you have to bulk purchase? I said, no. Did you have to buy everything and then sell it to your friends? I said, no. And then he goes, oh, then it's your money, take it. And that was that. So I took the money, and the money kept coming in. And about 6 months later, Tyler, who is now our general manager for Greater China, called me up and said he wanted to Skype. And I said, I don't want to Skype. I don't even know who you are. Yeah. He wanted to Skype me at 7 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm not going to Skype you early in the morning. I'm busy. I have to send my kids to school. So anyway, one thing led to another. He was really insistent. So I Skyped him, and he said, oh, what can I do for you? I said, I don't need your help. I'm just doing this thing on my own. I want to tell my friends. No, I'm not interested in whatever. Anyway, so 3 months later, they came to Hong Kong to do this event, and Cole Woolley was there, Will Haltman was there, Tyler was there, and they said to me over dinner, they said, hey, maybe if you do better, we can come and open Hong Kong. I said, no, I don't want you to come and open Hong Kong. They say, but why? I said, because there's going to be a lot of more work, and there's going to be trouble, and I don't like to be a startup person. I'm not that kind. I'm a stay-home mom. They say, no, but it'll be really good for your business. I said, no, I'm not doing this for the business. I just want to help my friends. And so I went to Silver Retreat and all that, and met Gary. And about 6 months later, they sent Tyler to Hong Kong. And that was 2013, January. And even the month that Tyler landed, I went to Winter Harvest. I didn't even care about that he was in Hong Kong opening the office. I went to Winter Harvest because that's what I love doing. I love going to Winter Harvest. And we opened October 2013. And we've grown, I don't know, 300 times since then. It's crazy. Yeah, that's my story.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And again, it's both of you have such unique stories, and that's why I'm excited to have both of you here today. So, Joanne, when you first started, what was it like for you sharing Young Living? You mentioned it a little bit, but do you care sharing a little bit more?
I don't know. Maybe I just like talking a lot. My mom said I talk nonstop. And I think that's one of the things that happens in Young Living is people love to talk and they love to share what they have. And when I first started, I just thought, hey, this is amazing. I should go tell this friend who has this child who would probably need the oils. So I went out and tell them. And I think what I've done is they've always trusted me. So I would introduce them to a restaurant and they would go and eat, and they go, oh, really? Yeah, it's a really great restaurant. They serve really good food. And then I just have this thing that I love telling people about great things that I've been using. I believe in sharing. I believe in not hiding good stuff. I think good things should be shared. I think happiness, if you share happiness, you multiply it. If you share sadness, you decrease it. So that's just what I do. And I've always had oils in my bag, and I just carry four. I'm sorry, it's early in the morning here.
Yeah.
I just carry four oils, which were lavender, peppermint, lemon, and thieves. I had no intention of building this as a business. I was just using the oils all the time. And I remember when Karen Cornejo, who's now the country manager of Singapore, saw me in Hong Kong that first time. That was March 2012. She said, Joanne reeked of oil. She's got oils in her every pores because that's all she can talk about. And yes, and that was all I can talk about. And that's still all I can talk about. I guess that's so, what it is. This passion.
Yeah. So it sounds like it was pretty easy for you to share Young Living then.
Yeah, for me, probably. So I do have people who find it difficult to share. And so I just tell them to bring those four oils with them every time when they go out to eat. You just take it out and rub it on, and just how they would normally use it, not to sell it. But if you use it normally, people would look at you and go, oh, what's that? And it smells really nice. Can I try? And just let them try it. Don't be a miser. Just let them try it out. And because Young Living works and it smells so much nicer than anything else that we've ever tried, people will be attracted to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Lindsay, what about you? When you first started, what was it like for you sharing? You know, you made that commitment to, I really want to go all in for this. Was it easy for you? Did you find difficulties? Do you mind sharing that?
So I'll just state up front that I'm a super anti-MLM person. And now I love Young Living, but in general, I would still consider myself anti-MLM. I don't like the typical MLM sales pitch. I don't like the idea of using your friends. I don't like the idea of pitching a product to people that you might not actually like as much as you say that you do in order to make money. So when I actually found out Young Living was an MLM, I got really upset.
Oh no.
I had a really bad experience with my mother, actually, whom I love dearly, got into an MLM that she loved, and all she could do was talk about this product. And at the end of the month, all it was about was money at the end of the month. And it made me really upset because I felt like it was less about the product, which might've been amazing and she loved, but it all came down to the money. And so when I found out Young Living was an MLM, I got really upset about it. I said to the people that I was talking to, just never, never mention this business to me again. But I was using the product because, like I said, when I started, I didn't know that it was a direct sales company, and I fell absolutely in love with it. And so I am a social person. I'm a mom. I was stuck at home by myself. My only social outlet is texting and Facebook and Instagram. Sure. So I just basically what I did was I just told my story on Instagram like I always do. And I think the reason that things took off for me the way they did is because I'm honest to a fault about things that would look really good on me and things that would also make me look really bad. Right. So, there is an underwear company that I love that I tell everybody to buy these underwear. They should be paying me millions of dollars.
You're like, I'm a spokesperson.
Right. Because I love it and I'm honest about the things that I love and I'm honest about the things that I don't love. So when I said I love this product, people automatically trusted that I would be telling them the truth because I've told them a truth about something that might have been embarrassing for other people, right? Like I'll show my dirty house at home. I don't care. This is my real life. I'm not trying to portray anything that I'm not. So when I started using oils and talking about them, people were like, I need that because I am you, right? So they had trusted me through other things. And because we're the same kind of person, it was an easy transition for them to say, how do I get this? And so for me at the first, before I was saying I was going to do this as a business, I was actually telling people, I'm not doing this as a business, but here's my link. It's a company where you can only get it by referral. So here's my number, you know, here's how you get your kit. And I started to realize it was paying for my product for the first couple of months. My first check was, I think, $300 and my 340 bucks. My second check was like $700 and something. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. At least I don't have to take it out of my envelopes, right? I was doing the Dave Ramsey envelopes with my husband at the time. And I was like, you know, I don't have to tell him where this money's coming from because mama's bringing it in. So I just basically decided I was going to continue like that. Hey, if my product gets paid for, great. And I just continued to talk naturally about them. I tried to make sure that anytime somebody came to me that I was doing the opposite of what I had seen every other MLM person do. So I sat down and made a list. Like, this is the typical MLM person. Whatever they do, I'm going to do literally the exact opposite. If they will call people and make a list of people, I'm going to tell people not to do that, right? So I had people kind of following me into this business, and I wasn't really even sure what I was doing at the time until that day that I decided to go all in. I studied the comp plan. I memorized it. I made it the background on my computer screen. And at that point, it became as much about sharing the business of Young Living as the product. So I continued to use the product. I continued to be a product of the product, which was easy to talk about. But then I also wanted to educate women who don't typically have a ton of business, especially the people I hang out with, right? We're stay-at-home moms. They don't have a ton of business background. They don't have, you know, degrees in business. They don't have experience because they're at home with their kids. They're cleaning up like poop on the walls, right? So it became about sharing that as well. Like, look, I'm going to hold your hand through this. We're going to do this together. Here's how we do it. We're going to do it the opposite of everybody else. And so like that kind of became our platform was we're going to do this differently. We're going to make sure that it's not weird because I think that there's this stigma attached to essential oils that it's like a weird thing. And it's like kind of like sacrilegious people think that it is. And I was like, look, I'm just a normal person. Here's how you can use them normally, but here's also how you can do this business normally. Right. And I love that this business allows us so many different types of people to do it, right? So Joanne is all the way across the world from me doing the same thing in a totally different way, and it totally works. Yeah. And we're here doing the same thing in a different way, and it totally works. And that makes my heart explode with happiness.
So both of you have worked like relentlessly for the businesses you now have. What were a couple of things you did during, you know, each rank to keep that fire going? Why don't you start, Joanne?
I remember at Silver Retreat, my first time in the Young Living Farm, and I heard this person saying about duplication. I had no idea what that meant. And his name is Rob Ritpath, who's now a diamond. And so we're Silver Buddies. And he was talking, he's from New York. So he was talking nonstop about duplication, and it was pretty loud. And for the people who know him, they know him, he's pretty loud. He's talking. And I said, so what do you mean by duplication? And he told me about these books that I should read. And I went home and I never bought the books, but I started thinking about what duplication meant. And it took me another year until convention that I heard Adam Green speak about duplication. And I sort of get what it means, but I didn't understand how to carry it forward. And because I read so much, and not everybody reads a lot, so I cannot easily duplicate myself. So I always joke that I am the most unduplicable person because I read so much. But I still made it. So it depends what kind of – now, of course, I know what duplication means. So I think when I was silver, going to gold, I just couldn't stop talking about Young Living. And I think, as Lindsay said, most of the people that I signed up had no idea it was network marketing. And I didn't even want to tell – I didn't think it was important to tell people that it was network marketing, because I didn't think it – I didn't know it was. And the funniest thing is, when we opened Hong Kong, all the silvers refused to get recognized because nobody was working it as a network marketing business. And then And then when we opened, I realized, no, I have to do this duplication thing. We have to let people know that it is network marketing, but it's unlike the other network marketing company, just as Lindsay say. So I also actually say the same thing. I said, so I list out, but I don't put it on paper, but I say it, what other people do in other network marketing company. And then I say, this is what we do. So you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. All you need to do is just use the products and tell people about it. The only way to get the products is have a member number referral, and that's it. And tell them that I'm buying this at the same price as you, so I'm not making money out of you, and you don't have to bulk buy. You just buy whatever you need. And if you think you're going to be using your products, all you need is about 500, that's Hong Kong dollars, and 50 US dollars a month. And if you do use it, it's like two oils. And then you can collect points and stuff like that. And people find this easier to repeat. And so we have a Facebook, we started with this Facebook group. So that's where the duplication comes in. So people would ask product questions or whatever questions in the Facebook group. And so in the beginning, I would answer along with my two other friends. One of them was Gretchen King, who's one of our Royal Crown Diamonds now. The other one is Michelle, who's our Platinum. And so the three of us would sit together and we'd talk about, oh, let's open a Facebook group. This would probably be easiest instead of answering questions over the phone or on WhatsApps. And so we started that group, and we started putting people into that group. In the beginning, when you open a Facebook group, people just wanted to be added. So we added whoever wanted to come. And then we realized at a point that there were so many people who weren't using Young Living, who were just there. And at one point, we had to close the group and we opened another one. And then when we reopened the other one, we had everybody who requested add send us an email, their member number, and then we would have to vet them, and then we would add them in. So that's where the duplication started. And that went really, really fast. And I was doing a lot of workshops, but people were repeatedly asking similar questions in the Facebook group. So eventually those people could answer. So if you join 3 months ahead, you've had that experience. Then 3 months later, somebody asked a similar question, they would jump in and answer. And most of us were mothers who are stay-home moms or who working moms who've got kids at home who sort of don't know what they're doing in their motherhood life, because most of us are new mothers. And that group created also the camaraderie of being having their backs and having each other's back and being there when somebody needed the help or the emotional support. And I think that's how we grew as fast as we did, was the Facebook was doing their stuff and everybody was pitching in. The teamwork, I think. And a lot of these weren't even builders, they were just product users who knew how to answer. That's all.
So as you were, advancing in your different ranks and stuff, were there different approaches or different ideas or tactics that you took, gold versus platinum versus, diamond? What did that look like? Or were you just really emphasizing the ability to duplicate and grow in Hong Kong?
Okay, so there's this thing that I heard is that you can build yourself to silver, you can build yourself to gold, you can barely build yourself to platinum, but you can never build yourself to diamond. So I think a lot of people have heard that, which means that you have to have builders. So you have to make it so exciting for people, whether it's about the products or about the business, you have to spread the passion, I think, for people to feel that these things work. Of course, I've got business builders in my team who just spread the passion about the money, being independent, financially independent, not needing to spend the money that your husband is bringing in, and having this extra money for schooling or for kids' classes or as an sort of like a, what do you call it, an insurance policy, where the money comes in every month and without you even knowing about it. Because as mothers, we tell people about good nappies and good, I don't know, milk powder or breastfeeding. We share our experience anyway. No, you were asking me about silver and gold and platinum, right? So, So as I move up rank, I started realizing that as I was platinum, I realized that I have to get people excited about sharing this. There's also another thing that I've noticed is Sherry Ross also agrees, and she talks about this, is that as we move up rank, the energy change, there's an energy shift, and every rank we encounter some new challenges, whether it's a personal growth thing or a group thing or a people thing. We always have this challenge that comes that is so difficult to move along. It's sort of like the lobster changing its shell. When it grows too big for its shell, it has to, take out, the shell will have to come out, and then they have to grow this new shell. But it, during that period, it's very, very difficult. And I've seen so many people moving up rank and not being able to overcome that challenge positively, and then they stay in rank. For those who can positively adopt to those changes, they move up rank really quickly. Most of the time, I find that it's a personal growth issue. So they have to look inside, they have to be humble about it, they have to learn. And that's my personal experience. So as I was moving up rank, there's always been challenges, and I've always used the oils to help me. I like to meditate.
Yeah.
It's just a simple thing that I find on YouTube for 20 minutes. I don't do it daily. I just do it whenever I am too busy. People find that very weird because when I'm too busy, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just running around like a headless chicken. So when I meditate, and it only takes like 20 minutes, and I put oils on, it makes it more effective. I calm down and I slow down and I think about it and I reflect, and that really, really helps me. Yeah, so that's what I do.
Well, thanks so much for sharing those. Lindsay, what about you? What were a couple of things you did from rank to really keep that, that fire going and that passion going?
Well, I'll tell you that I think the thing that I did on day one is the thing that I still do now. I didn't really set out to do anything different to get to the next rank, except for being strategic about where you put your people, right? Like strategic placement, that's a thing in and of itself. But for me, as far as my daily routine to get people excited and get people bought in and keep people moving forward, I did the same thing as I did on March 25th as I do today. And that is, I try to step back and assess, where is the need? What are people not understanding? What is the hardest problem that we've got right now? And how can I teach on that? And so I basically put all of my business people into a single group. And that group is giant now. There's like 50,000 people in it now. But at the beginning, it wasn't that big, right? So it was easier for me to have one-on-one time with every single person. At this point, right, we're so big, there's 300,000 people that are working on our team. So there's no way for me to have one-on-one interaction with them. But what I did decide as we started to grow was like, look, I'm not going to be able to do this on my own. This has to be for other people if it's going to be for me. So I basically kind of just took people that were buying in, and then I could see were excited about it. And I put them into another group and a leadership group. And I try to teach them what I know about leadership and what I know about sales and what I know about how to get people excited and what I know about growing social media, everything that I know about business. And I try to impart the wisdom that other people have taken the time to impart on me onto them. And then they can then take that back to their teams and be the leader that their teams want to see, right? So it's not all about what does Lindsay say, right? So they have their own groups and they're the leader of those groups. And I do my best to take an assessment of what my group needs as a whole. And then I teach on that. So if I see that the morale is down, then I teach on that. If I see that people are having a hard time through a dip, I'll teach on that. If I see that there's a book that people could help, then I'll do that, right? So we've started book clubs and we've started oil groups. We've started leadership groups. At this point, I have a group that I'm loving that is, it's a Facebook group of all the people that are within what I call my cube. And that's my six levels across and my seven or eight generations down. And I have all of these people in one group where I know that I'm going to get some return on my investment of time in. And I know this is like, this is might be a little bit iffy for some people, right? Because people feel like, oh, you just need to give your time to everybody. But the truth of the matter is I just can't, I physically cannot, there's not enough time in the day. And so I need to take the people that I know have trusted me, all of the people that I've enrolled from the beginning, which is close to 500 people now, and put them in one group where they can, they have access to me, right? Because Facebook Messenger, they get lost. And I try my best to make them feel like they're never just a number. And I think that my excitement for the product is easily translated. It's easily caught by other people and then they get excited. And so just coming up with new content daily that I can give to them that's either business or product related, where we can get excited about something little every single day, keeps people coming back. And we've had really, really low attrition rates because our people are excited about this business and leaders can come out and do things their own way. And it's been really, really great for us. We, our group is called the Lemon Droppers, and our group has a really good synergy. For a group of women, I should say, look, not all women work really well together. Women are notorious for like hating on each other and doing this mommy wars thing. You know what I mean? Like women just like tend to get in these catty little fights. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen. That does happen in our group, just like it happens in every single group, men and women alike. But our group has a really good chemistry. And we love each other. We love each other through the good times and the hard times. And it has kept people coming back and bought in. And we've had such great replication rates as far as growth is concerned, that people don't walk away. I find that if you can get people a little bit of success where they can get just like a couple $100 every single month, that's really what stay-at-home moms want. Just let me contribute a couple $100 to my family and see what happens. And if we can get people there, which we have been able to do, they're never going to leave. They're never going to leave because it's so easy to just tell your story and let people come to you. And from there, I will hold your hand and show you this business. We can do it together. And it doesn't have to be a hard thing if you don't make it.
So where do both of you look for inspiration for new ideas for your business? You know, this is an industry and, you know, our company is ever changing. So how do you stay current, relevant, and passionate? Lindsay, go ahead and start.
I read a lot, like Joanne. I probably read a little bit different content than her. So I'm not a researcher as far as that is concerned. Like I will do it if I have to do it. I know how to do it. But I don't enjoy that, but I do love reading and I love reading business management and leadership books. And so I read a lot and I reach out to those people that write those books to nice. Talk to them. I will watch people. I watch people online. I watch people that are business owners. I watch people that have spark behind them. I watch people that excite me, that make me smile. And I will try to replicate what they're doing. So if I see somebody that's doing something that's awesome online, I will try to take that and turn it into something that I can do as well. I read a lot of magazines. But really the thing that I do the most is I just watch people. I watch what's happening online. I watch people that are up and comers, people that have, that are internet sensations. And I try to figure out what it is that people are drawn to about that and then replicate that. How can I make that about my business? And that's been really, really helpful.
What about you, Joanne?
Yeah, same thing. I read things that are totally opposite than Lindsay. I love about health products, anything with to do with natural health. I love reading about it. I was on a plane the other day, flying back to Hong Kong, and my husband has this Time magazine, and the front was antibiotics. Is it really the end of the era? And he showed me the book, and he showed me a magazine, and he goes, "Honey, would you like to read this?" I said, "Huh? What?" And he goes, "Oh, it's for work. It's not for leisure." I said, "Oh no, this is leisure reading for me." So that's what I do. And then I love TED Talks. I find them very easy to understand, and it's easily shareable, because in Hong Kong, people don't read a lot of English, and a lot of the TED Talks have Chinese subtitles. So, and it's only 20 minutes. So what I do is I tell all my leaders, and I do that too, is me time, 20 minutes of me time. You open a tub of water, put some oils in, choose a TED Talk, and just soak in there for 20 minutes while you listen to the TED Talk. And I love that. And then I find it from people, from, I don't know, just online, and I Google, and whatever attracts me, I listen to it and I try to get the most out of it, as Lindsay does. But I'm a personal grower, so I love about personal growth. So what I do is, when I grow the business, I actually try to grow the people. And when these people grow, they would automatically grow their business, just how I do it. So I do a lot of Wayne Dyer. I read a lot of Hay House books and stuff like that. I don't even know if I can mention that. So yeah, I'm a big personal grower, motivation speaker, just one-liners. I share a lot of those because it's easier. It's easier for people to understand. Yeah, that's where I get my new ideas. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you both for sharing those. I think everybody can kind of incorporate a lot of what you said into, you know, some me time, or, you know, some moments where they're flying somewhere or they have some downtime, just to, you know, pick up a TED Talk or, you know, a new leadership book that maybe they saw on Lindsay's Instagram. What are three things that you would tell every person interested in building a business to do on a daily basis? We'll go ahead and start with you, Joanne.
Read about personal growth, or find something about it. Reflect on things they don't like about themselves and change it. And connect with, if they're a leader, connect with builders and leaders, or connect with people. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. Three things.
What about you, Lindsay?
Oh, that's hard. I am one of those people that doesn't do anything at the same time every single day. It would make me crazy to have to do the same three things every day. So I probably, to be honest with you, wouldn't give that advice. But
okay,
if I had to pick three things that I wanted someone to do, if they were like, "Hey, what should I do today?" I would tell them to be present in their groups. I would tell them to make sure that they're somewhere where their people can see them. If they are trying to get buy-in as a leader, they need to make sure their people see them be first in and last out. So I take pride in my ability to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning and start working and let my people see me. And then also be working at 2 a.m. when people, you know, on the East Coast are waking up the next morning, I'm still there. And I'm not saying that's right for everybody. It's not right for everybody to work that many hours. But if what you're trying to do is grow a business in the same way that I grew a business, you're going to need to let your people see you all the time. So number one is make sure your people are seeing you. Make sure you're present for them. Number two is you need to figure out what your people are missing, right? So you need to just step back and assess what it is that's making people A, not buy product this month, B, not be in their groups this month, C, not be as excited as they were the month before. What is the problem? Assess that problem and then teach people how to change that, right? Instead of just telling them, look, this is what you need to do. You need to teach them a lesson. How can you teach that man to fish? And so those are the things that I would tell people to do, is be present and then make sure you're assessing the situation and addressing a need every single day.
Lindsay, what advice do you have for someone who is maybe a bit timid when it comes to sharing or building their business?
Well, I mean, I tell people all the time, there's no matter what you do, somebody's going to hate it. somebody's going to hate it. You will say something that you're really excited about. Your mom's going to love it. One other person's going to love it. And then one other person is going to tell you that they hate it, right? They're just trying to bring you down. They are scared of what you're doing. I think I find that people see somebody make a change in their life and they have to bring that person down because they feel less than because they're not making that change, right? And that would be too hard for them. They can't put themselves in the place where they can actually make a change in their life that they want. So if there's something that you want, this business is going to be able to bring that to you, but they're being timid about starting it. I would have to ask them what the point is of them deciding that this is what they want to do in the first place. If it's because they want to, you know, spread better health to people, I would ask what it is that's holding them back. Is it what other people are thinking of you? Because no matter what you do, somebody's going to hate it. So you might as well do it. You might as well go all in. Is it that you are wanting to buy your freedom? Which that's what it was for me. I will be honest with you. I did this business because I saw that it could be a great potential and that I wanted to buy my freedom to be able to do whatever I wanted to do on whatever day I wanted to. And I wanted to be able to write whatever check to whatever person I wanted to. And that was a big goal, right? But I was willing to do anything I had to do to get there. And so I would really talk to that person about what it is that they're wanting and why they want it, right? People buy why you're doing something, not what you do. Right. And so I would have that conversation with that person. Why do you want this in the first place? And what is it that would hold you back from doing that? Because if it's what somebody thinks about you, which is if somebody's timid, that's probably what it is. Why would you let that hold you back from what you want in your life when their life is completely separate from yours? Especially if we're talking about the online world, everybody has something to say about everybody else. I have learned that more in this business than any other business. Everybody on the internet has something to say about how you do something or what you do. You're going to have to ignore that completely and do what you think is the right thing to do, what you've been called to do, what you think is the right decision for you and your family, and be okay with sleeping with that at the end of the day, because those people's lives are totally separate from yours. And if your friends can't get on board and support you with something, are they really that great of friends in the first place? Probably not. I would venture to say that somebody that can't just say, yes, I'm going to support you, even though I don't love oils myself, is probably not a great friend to begin with. And so you're not actually losing that much.
That's really powerful advice. Thanks so much. Joanne, what about you? What advice do you have for someone who's maybe struggling a bit at first?
Well, I would have to agree with Lindsay, is that timid people are usually shy and because they are worried about what can go wrong. And I always tell them, whatever can go wrong is all in your imagination. What does it matter? What if it goes wrong? Then you learn your mistake. If you tell people about it, about the oils, the worst is they don't join, but you don't lose anything. And it's not like you're making money out of them. You're buying the products at the same price as they are. Then how do you make money out of them? You're not. It's the company who's giving you the money. And most people that I find, if they're shy about it, it's about what they, as Lindsay say, what they're worried about, what people think of them. And I tell them what they think of you has nothing to do with you. It's what they think of you. And if you just keep doing what you want to do without hurting people and set the intention right, and if it's for the benefit of yourself and for them, then it works. Then why worry what other people think about you? A lot of the times they're worried about that people think they're making money out of them. So, and I said, you have to change your mentality. It is that you're trying to help them get better, get healthier, or earn money, whatever they want, because Young Living works in mysterious ways. If you want money, they give you money. If you want health, they give you health. If you just want relaxation, they give you relaxation. If you want personal growth, Young Living gives you personal growth. And that is what you're giving them. You're edifying these people that you're sharing these products with. You're not making money out of them. And when I say that, people suddenly just click. And it's just whether they can do it or not. And sometimes it takes that own person to try to work it out themselves.
So Joanne, you know, as you've been able to build this business, what's been one of the most difficult and most exciting moments you've had as a leader?
The most difficult would be working with people who don't share the same value as I do. So I've learned to adopt myself so I can now talk to people that we don't come from the same background. We don't share the same values, And I've learned this from the four colors. I don't know if the people who are listening in understand this. So the red, green, yellow, blue colors. And I learned this from Adam Green. And so if I see that they're red, I would have to speak the red language, although I'm not, but I would have to learn to speak the red language. And so it's been easier now. So since I became Diamond, I've learned to speak what other people, the language that other people understand, and to give people what they need instead of what I think they need. I think that's a big learning curve for me too. And the most exciting moments, oh my gosh, seeing people succeed and changing lives on a daily basis, whether it's finance or whether it's on health, that is priceless. That is the most amazing, amazing thing that Young Living has brought to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. What about you, Lindsay? What's been most difficult and most exciting?
We do things differently, and we pride ourselves on being different and changing the status quo. And I think when we came along, it was when Young Living was ripe for a lot of change. And so we brought in a demographic that I don't necessarily think that, and I think Joanna's a big part of this too, but that I don't necessarily think that Young Living was touching. And that was the stay-at-home mom, the young mom, the 25 to 35 young kids in the thick of it. Like I call it like the weeds, right? You're just like in the weeds all the time at this time in your life. And I think that Young Living was missing that demographic. And we brought that demographic in a big way, really fast. And the most difficult thing has been being the face of that change. It's not always accepted right away. People have a lot of really bad things to say about that, and they'll say it to your face, they'll say it behind your back, and it always gets back to you. And that's been really hard. It's been really hard to try to move this business forward in a way that's right for my demographic, that's right for my target market, and make decisions that I know are going to be hated by people and then hear that. So that's been the most difficult, I'll be honest with you, is what other people say about me and other people that are in this business, to be honest with you. And I'm shocked about it, to be honest with you. So, that's been the hardest part. But a part that I've grown so much from and learned so much from and have become better for, because some of the stuff people say is true, and it's okay for you to step back and say like, hey, maybe I didn't do that right. I'm learning just along with everybody else. And so I don't always make the right choices, and I don't always make the right decision. I don't always lead in the best way. And so it's good for me. It has been good for me to also check myself there. The most exciting part for me is the fact that I have been able to buy my freedom. So my husband was able to quit his job in May of 2014. He was a college president at the time in Seattle. And we've been able to move wherever we wanted to in the entire world, which is a really fun thing to think about. It's like kind of the thing where people step back and they're like, hey, what if we won the lottery? What would you do? Like, what would we buy first, right? Or where would we go? And what would we move to? Or what would we do with our kids? And when that becomes your real life, there's like this weird feeling that comes along with that of being able to say yes to things that you've never dreamed that you'd be able to say yes to. And for me, when Michael and I moved out of Arizona in 2008, when we moved out of Arizona in 2008 and we started moving from place to place, we said that we wouldn't buy a house until we were able to buy it in cash. And that was going to be something that we did. We were going to be debt-free, and we weren't going to buy a house until we could do it in cash. And my friends will tell you that they like laughed at me about that. And this last year, we were able to buy our dream house in cash. And that has been by far the most exciting thing, because I know that no matter what, my kids are going to be able to grow up here in a place that they love. Sorry, it's making me emotional just thinking about it. And it's going to provide them with some stability and a place that they can call home and that they can look back on their childhood and say, that's the place where I grew up. And that's all I want for them. All I want for them is the best thing. And nothing has made me happier than being able to do this as a family with my three kids and my husband, and love this place where we get to be so much time, spend so much time in. We work from home. So this is like, this is our base. This is like my comfort. This is the place where I'm safe. And I love it. And I love that we were able to meet that goal.
Well, thank you both so much for sharing those really powerful and personal stories. I think by sharing your stories, a lot of people are going to be able to find some truth in that and you know, just make connection points with that larger topic of being a leader. So as we wrap up, I want to give both of you a moment to, you know, share whatever you want. If it's about Young Living, if it's to, you know, a shout out to some people, whatever you want, I want to give you both an opportunity. So Joanne, why don't you go ahead and take your moment?
I think the advice I would say is be bold and not be afraid of change or what other people think about you, and be not afraid to go into the unknown, and not be fearful. So be courageous and get outside of your comfort zone. Be willing to learn about the things that you've never been able to learn. Be adaptive, be positive, even if you don't agree with the things, you have to adapt to it, and you have to be positive and try to look at the positive side of everything. I think that's really important for me in this Young Living journey, and I think that's what I've been telling all my builders to do. Yeah, being positive and being adaptable.
Great. What about you, Lindsay?
First, I want to say that everyone should go and look at a picture of Joanne, because she said she didn't look 40 when she started. And I'm telling you, she doesn't look 40.
Yeah, right, she looks
now.
Great.
So everyone should, number first and foremost, go and look at a picture of Joanne. And then just ask her what she does. You should ask her what products she uses.
Yeah.
And then when she tells you, you should take it out of her purse, because I guarantee she's got it in there. Number two, I think that I would like to say that that you can't do any of this. You can't do the product thing. You can't do anything without people. And so you just got to love your people. You got to love being with people, even when it's hard. You got to love every part of this business where you can't hire and you can't fire someone. You got to like kind of sit back and like laugh about that, because people are going to come into your life that you would never be friends with in real life. And you have to find a way to work with them. And so the best way to do that is to find a group of people that you absolutely can't wait to be with every single day, and make those people your friends and make those people your life and make it your mission to make them successful, because when they grow, you grow. And that excitement is totally contagious. I love my leadership group. There's a group of leaders that have been with me from like right at the beginning. And I've seen these people advance through the ranks. I've seen their lives changed. I've seen them be able to do the things they never thought they'd be able to do. And that is just as sweet as being able to do things yourself. And so love your people, be excited about it. And when things happen that people come along that you just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to work with these people. Like Joanne was talking about earlier, where you just like, it's a totally different personality style. And it's just a hard thing. Step back and be willing to take on that challenge and be willing to learn how to work with those people. I have to take that advice myself every single day, because I'm not the easiest to live with and the easiest to work with either. And so realize that and be willing to laugh about it and move forward and learn how to work with these people, and love what you do. If, as long as you love it, it doesn't matter what anybody says or thinks about it. You're the one that has to be spending the time away from your kids, away from your family, away from whatever it is that your opportunity cost is. And it better be worth it at the end of the day, or at the end of, you know, a few years when you look back on your life. If it's not worth the time, then you absolutely should not be doing it.
Well, thank you both so much for sharing your ideas, your inspiration, and your time with us on Drop of Inspiration.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thanks for joining us on Drop of Inspiration. Until next time, I'm your host, Celeste Rosenloff.